So I've had some ongoing themes. So we shall see. I kind of know where I want to start and where I will probably land. In the middle could be a little wacky. But where it all started for me, a few weeks ago when Kelly McFarland did a talk, and she, one of the things she shared was a piece of artwork of red thread. And I'm sorry, I don't have the artist's name in front of me, but it was a beautiful tangled red thread, part of a series, that really kind of wound its way into me and into my dreams and my daydreaming scape as well. And it just sort of stayed with me. And my dreams then became pretty wild and interesting and far-reaching, let us say. And I wish now, of course, I'm terrible at writing down my dreams because you know how they, you wake or you turn over and they start to go away and you're like, no, come back. But I always, I resist waking to write them down because I really want to go back to sleep and get them back. But I remember so many of them. They were so vivid. And it always had to do with these red tangled threads. It started there and they would float through the landscape and become things, become part of that, become part of the sky and turn into a tree and maybe fly. And everything seemed very connected and made of the same stuff. And at the same time, there were a lot of people passing through my dreams. And you know how I assume this is a thing that happens with other people. Sometimes it's not about that, or it's not about a person, but they just sort of show up and then they're gone. And you think, well, maybe I'm supposed to contact them, or maybe they're already gone and they're trying to tell me something, or but a lot of people were passing through. But what was different? It wasn't always people that I knew or close to, not even necessarily people I remember from my childhood or something. But I realized that some of these people were people that I had only passed somewhere in my life. And I don't know that I would have remembered that I ever saw them. Specifically, a couple times I was like, I think I passed that person on the subway platform in New York, or maybe made eye contact. And so where is that in the body and in the memory and in the connection? And I, so then I started thinking about all the people in all of those threads. Not just that we know that we know, the kids we grew up with, the kid down the street that you never saw again when you left the neighborhood, going to school. Meeting your parents' friends and your friends' friends. And then, of course, going to another school. And, we lived in New York for 20 years. How many? And you think the millions of people that you have touched, passed by, known in this million, it could be millions of people and in a lifetime. And I'm just one person. And then, if everybody in this world of billions has passed, maybe not that many, but eventually it's all the same. And again, it's those tangled threads, every body meeting and crossing and being a part of each other. It just became this a kind of a new take for me, or a remembered take on how very interconnected and tangled and what a beautiful chaos all of this is. And what it really brought me back to is the actual thread, the actual physical threads that we work with. My mother has been gone for a long time, as has my dad. You know, it's over 30 years now, hard to believe. But my mother, you know, taught me to sew, and I have a lot of visceral memory. It's so connected, the whole thread idea. I still have her. It's a beautiful little round sewing tin. It's sitting in the other room, actually. And it still has, you know, things that are probably 50 years old in them. You know, little thread and patches and little eyes and needles and just bits and pieces. And, you know, my favorite thimble is still her, the one she wore a lot. I think it's Bakelite. You know, I have other thimbles, prettier gifts and things, but that, you know, that's always my go-to mom's thimble. Anyway, so I have these bits of thread from her, and I still have her sewing machine, which is an old, heavy, Singer machine in a, you know, wooden cabinet. That's been hauled around. It's a beautiful thing that I've done my best to sort of beat up over the years, because Kelly's helped me haul that sewing machine every place we've lived. And it still kind of astounds me, having learned on that machine when I was, you know, so young, and seeing my mother at that sewing machine so much and learning on it, that I could open it years later and still know how to thread it. It's intricate, and I don't really get why you have to go through all of this to use the sewing machine. But, you know, you have the thread, and you put it on the spindle, and then it comes across, and it has to go down and loop around a little thingy and through another eye and down around a piece of metal. And before you actually get to threading the thread into the sewing machine, and then a whole thing with the bobbin and bringing them together. And there's something very comforting about all of that. And when I'm in that place, it all seems very connected. You know, I see my hands doing these things, and they are my mother's hands. They're more and more my mother's hands all the time, and her mother, and her mother's mother, and on and on. And there's a bigger landscape there too, not just of, you know, personal ancestors, but of all of our ancestors. You know, again, the red thread goes far and wide, and I'm going to throw something else in here. You know, as happens in this synchronistic world, when you throw some threads out there into the World Wide Web, you know, interesting what you get back. And so I want to share a poem with you that came to me through that strange world that we zoom in through these days. And it's interesting. It's not, I could read this and feel, and I'm sure I will, feel very sad. There's a sadness there about time and memory. But what gives me comfort, or what drew me to this, and the name of it is Thread, is the connection. there's more here about my mother and quilting, but I think I'll tell you that after the poem. Thread, pierce, weave. Her leathered fingers pulling it through from one single taut line until it forms a flowing tapestry of a quilt. She forgets the mail, the laundry, the casserole that burned her house down. The threads are her memories that have been lost, each one a moment, a place, a person. She forgets their names. These threads are the last she will weave. Family acts as thread. The quilt that catches her as she falls farther from herself into an image as faded as the last photo of her husband. Thread, pierce, weave. Thread, pierce, weave. She forgets the quilt. The daughter finds it and sees a half spelled out name. She forgets her name. The daughter brings her mother her memories. The daughter helps guiding her mother's hand. Thread, pierce, weave, thread, pierce, weave, thread, pierce, weave. Threads become patches, patches from the cloth. Thread, pierce, weave, thread, pierce, weave. Mother and daughter weave together an inheritance. The quilt is finished, a single name. She utters the name she has been trying to find. She remembers her grandson. That really touched me. And I realized when I read this again last night that, because my mother quilted, among many other things, as did her mother. And I think that the last quilt my mother made that she finished was for her youngest grandson, who was a boy. And I hadn't thought of that in years. But my mother was very happy and I think very surprised, somewhere early mid-80s, I met a woman by chance. This is a whole other thread that I could share with you, but let's just say she became my quilting mentor. And my mother, who was at that point, I think, starting to battle her cancer battle, said, "Well, you know, I have this quilt top that I pieced, and I never did finish it." She would bring it out and look at it and think, "Ah, I'll get around to that later," and put it back in the drawer. She said, "I think you should have this, and I think that you should quilt it." And I was like, "Okay." And I did what my mother did for quite a while. I looked at it, folded it up, put it back in the drawer, said, "Yeah, I have to do that one of these days." It was a little daunting still in my quilting history, but I did finally bring it out, and as so happens, met another woman who is a master quilter, who was also my dresser in a show in New York, who, you know, helped me with costumes and costume changes and things. It just so happened that I was blessed with a huge dressing room, and she had a big quilting frame, and we put this thing together, and that's where my mother's quilt was finally finished, bit by bit. And the other, again, thread, so many stories within the stories. One of the other things where these threads have brought me is, what is the physical thread again? Where does it go? Where do all the little bits go? And, you know, I used to take this quilt, not that quilt, but when I was working on little sections of quilts on the subway, and I learned how to sew while on a train, and I would sew on the Amtrak train going from New York down to Maryland to see my folks. And I start thinking, where do all those bits go? You know, a little snip snip here, and they don't all make it to the bin. You know, maybe it falls on the floor or somebody's shoe and it travels someplace else. Or you're on a train and it, I don't know. It, they could go anywhere. You take a hike, you brush your pants off, lands on a dog. Yeah, but they all, it all exists somewhere in that vastness. And that gives me, again, some kind of interesting hope and connection and feeling about how we are. It's the time and space thing, all being very nonlinear and all ever present. And yeah, that gives me some kind of connection. I was also thinking about Kelly and I sitting on the back porch in the Springs, and briefly with Debbie too, you know, sewing on Arrakisus, you know, and those little threads, and what did those threads hold, and where did the wind take those bits that didn't quite make it into the bin? Yeah, it's nice. I'm almost wrapping it up here, I think. But it's all been a very rich and full time. And again, I think it's very synchronistic that another poem would come. This one also, not thread, but titled Threads. And this spoke to me quite profoundly. She saves her hair in a grocery sack. Silken, silver strands that once hung to her waist, coming out now in clumps with each cloth combing. She's saving every thread till spring. She'll scatter it in her yard for Jenny Wrens and fat robins to weave the fibers into nests, for squirrels and little brown field mice to pad the beds of spring litters. Her daughter crochets cotton and wool into caps of bright colors to cover her mother's cold baldness. But more than that, she weaves a thread that binds them to each other, weaves them both deeper into the fabric of life. Thank you. Wish I could say I wrote those.
Thank you, Susan.